Corinthians chapter 9. The book of 2 Corinthians chapter 9. I want to do something just a little bit different. It's a little bit out of character for me. Typically, we're in a series and we've not been over the last couple Wednesdays. And the Lord put this passage on my heart a few weeks ago, and I just kind of passed by it in the last couple Wednesdays, and I preached a couple weeks on the topic, how to kill a good church, and the Lord brought me back to this passage. And so we're just going to spend a few minutes here tonight, and this is a passage you're familiar with. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 will be in verses 6 through 8. You probably can quote them, you probably know them, and this is not a stewardship service. This is not a precursor to a missions conference. It's just inserted here. And I trust that there'll be some helpful reminders to us, and I hope it'll be a blessing to us. 2 Corinthians 9, let's look at verse 6, 7, and 8. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. I just want to give you a thought tonight, a couple points, but here's the thought, the question I'd like to ask: are we participating or are we passionate about the gospel? Are we participating or are we passionate? Or are we both? Father, thank you for the privilege to be able to be here tonight. We're glad that our hearts have been warmed already by way of song and testimony. And I pray that for a few minutes you'll help us as we are reminded of these so very familiar verses, that they could be an encouragement and a strength to us. Take these principles that we know and lodge them in our hearts. Teach us, Lord, reignite a fervor for reaching the lost. I pray that you would take these thoughts and allow the Holy Spirit to apply them to us. In Jesus' name, amen. If we look at the pattern of local churches in the New Testament, sometimes it could be said that they may shame us for our lack of faith, or perhaps at times our lack of outreach. If we believe in local New Testament churches, and if we believe in Baptist history, then I believe you can take the New Testament and you can trace back examples for what the church is to be like today. Many times, and specifically in what we're reading here, you'll find that a lot of these churches were small, many of them were poverty-stricken, and yet they were churches that made an impact, they were churches that had a voice, they were churches that in some ways move their community for the sake of the gospel. They didn't let size be a hindrance to them. They didn't let their lot or what they did or did not have persuade them. But they, many times, as we look at these examples, we can see how that there are principles here that they used or that God used in them to impact those around them. Sometimes today we become so focused on external or temporal or some kind of a materialistic program that the area of outreach or evangelism or missions emphasis is only a part of our vision if it's convenient. I'm afraid that sometimes missions in the average small Baptist church in our country is really kind of just quarantined to a week or a few days worth of conference and maybe a missionary or two along the way, and that becomes many times the emphasis that we have for getting the gospel out. And tonight I want to just for a few minutes stir our heart for the world and stir our heart for the gospel. If we could just hit the reset button and just go back to what the local church is all about. I believe that God gave to us a purpose in the local church, and that is that we are to reach others for the cause of Christ. I believe in world evangelism. Shake your head like this. It certainly can't be that difficult. And I think that's a principle found in the Bible. By the way, did you know the devil was a master at trying to steal God's copyright on eternity? Did you ever notice how many times there are organizations that use the word mission in them? A lot of hospitals have the word mission in them. A lot of food pantries have the word mission in them. Some parks have the word mission in them. Some sports organizations have the word mission in them, and that's fine, and they may have some humanitarian effort, and there may be some good things that are involved in that. But ladies and gentlemen, I trust you understand tonight that feeding people and clothing people is not near as important as reaching a person's soul. And the moment that the church and the moment that we as a people get swept into that, then what happens is our time, our energy, sometimes our finances, they get sucked into the flow of that, and we feel as if we are really doing that which is good. And it may be good by definition, but it may not be biblical. And God gave the local church, He endowed the local church with the power of the gospel. Paul said that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. And therefore, if we wisely and effectively distribute the gospel, not just in our community, but to all the world, then we should make a difference. I have found that the average fundamental Baptist church has a missions program. And some are zealous about that. But some are participating, and few are passionate. So, preacher, what do you mean? Well, sometimes I think we give because we're supposed to. We don't want to feel guilty if we don't give. By the way, you can't read 2 Corinthians chapter 9 without speaking about giving. Is that why everybody's nervous? Sometimes we go because we're supposed to, or because the preacher may preach, or he is going to preach something about soul winning, and therefore we should go because we haven't been in a while. Or maybe it's because we hold a position of leadership in the church, and oh, if I haven't been soul winning in a week or two, then the preacher's going to wonder where I've been, or he's going to say something from the pulpit. But ladies and gentlemen, could it be that maybe we don't see the results that we ought to see, or perhaps we don't see the change that we would like to see, or we don't see decisions that we hope to see? Maybe it's because we're simply going out of duty rather than out of a heart for the gospel. By the way, I think everyone can fall into that trap. Doesn't matter who you are, and it doesn't matter how long you've been in church or how long you've been in a ministry position. We all have to come back to this place and to examine at times. My heart recently has been challenged about my personal involvement in telling others about the gospel. You may not know this, but I have sometimes a busy schedule. Now, I know all the jokes, and I actually just got up about 5:30 this afternoon, so I understand. But you know, just like you, there are times when on a Thursday or on a Saturday or whenever that may be, that I'm tired, that I'm weary, that it's been a long day and there's been lots to do, and maybe it's not a Thursday, maybe it's not a Saturday, maybe it's another day of the week. There are times when I'm sitting in a restaurant on a Tuesday afternoon or an evening, and the Holy Spirit pricks my heart about speaking to someone about the gospel, and there's an internal warfare with the Holy Ghost. You ever had that? Now, maybe that never happens with you, but in my mind and in my heart, I think, you know, they first of all, they don't speak English because I'm in a Mexican restaurant, and second of all, I'd just rather eat, and I don't want anybody to know who I am, and I don't have a logo on my shirt. But you know, every time I think through that, I realize, you know, it's not a duty for me to tell someone about Christ. It's a privilege. And I'm afraid that sometimes we miss that. Several months ago, or it's been quite a while ago now, we were in a church that we visited, much like ours, probably smaller than what's in this room here tonight. And the church was averaging weekly over $3,000 just in missions. Now that's phenomenal. When my granddaddy was a pastor, he was in Pennsylvania, and their church several years tipped right at $1 million a year just in missions. Just in missions giving. I think sometimes we may give a little bit and we pat ourselves on the back and we think, wow, we really are doing something and God must be pleased with us and we really are making a difference. But my heart is moved that we realize that we ought to make a greater difference, not just in our community, but globally for the cause of Christ. So if I could for a moment just share three or four things that are about as elementary as it comes from the Word of God. First of all, let us go back and think about the purpose for a minute. If you want to turn to Acts chapter 1, verse number 8, you're welcome to do so, but you probably know the passage. The Bible gives to us a purpose and a plan, if you will, for the gospel. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. The missions program, the outreach responsibility of the local church is to reproduce Bible preaching and teaching New Testament churches. We are to be birthing Christians, and we're to be birthing churches for the cause of Christ. That's our philosophy. That ought to be our philosophy. I know there's a lot of different philosophies in the world today. There's a lot of different people that say, well, missions is this and a missions is that, and we can do missions here and we can do missions there. But unless I've missed something, and I've tried for a while to think through this in Acts chapter 1, but God's given to us a pretty straightforward plan. We're to reach our Jerusalem, and we're to reach Judea, and we're to reach Samaria and the uttermost parts of the earth. God did not say that you can pick just one and that's it. And sometimes the average church says, well, if we send XYZ amount of money overseas, then we're really doing something for the cause of Christ. And that may be partly true. But do you realize that if we never reach South Haven, we're not making that much of a difference? Now, you can give as much as you want to missions, and I trust that you do, and I trust that you'll give more. But if you never try to make an impact here locally, then you've skipped over your Jerusalem. And by the same token, if we're active in our Jerusalem, but yet we're not sending to the uttermost parts of the world, and we're not trying to reach DeSoto County, and the list goes on, then we're not fully doing what God's called us to do. And I want to challenge every Christian to think about, what is the purpose? What is my purpose? What is your purpose? What is the purpose of the local church? There ought to be a reproducing effect. I promise you that when you take Acts chapter 1, verse number 8, you make it personal for yourself and you make it personal for your church, it will change your involvement. If you read Acts chapter 1, verse number 8, as if God addressed it specifically to you, in other words, you have the responsibility to reach Jerusalem yourself. You have the responsibility to reach Judea and Samaria and the uttermost part of the earth. Say, preacher, I can't do that. Of course we can't do it by ourselves. That's why we have the local church, and we partner with for the cause of Christ to give the gospel. We are partakers of the Word of God, and it's all to be to the glory of God. It's all to make a difference to tell others about the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not so much interested about a missionary, if that's the title that he wants to use, who would come and just say, well, I can tell great stories, but he's not really a soul winner. I'm not so much interested in that. I'm not so much interested about a group of singers. I get trouble from time to time because people will say to me, preacher, you ought to have this group of singers and you ought to do that. And that's, you know what, if that's your prerogative, that's fine. Everyone has their choices. But the truth of the matter is, I don't know any gospel group that's going around singing on Saturday night that's planning churches. Now, I'm not saying they're all wrong. Don't you snarl at me. Some of you, I saw you. You got hair lipped there, but it's fine. There's nothing wrong with good singing, and we need good singing. That's a whole lot better than you going to a concert on a Friday night to listen to some honky-tonk. But don't convince yourself that that's reaching others for the cause of Christ, according to Scripture. Don't convince yourself outside of the Scripture. And the Bible puts a priority on planting churches, on reaching others, on giving the Gospels. I am convinced that if we can reach nationals in their country, then we can continue the work. One of the reasons why our church has given so much money to the Dominican Republic and Haiti and other countries like that is because there are national men in those areas who are doing a work to reach others, and with only 30 people in their church, they're planting another church. Thank God for that. Meanwhile, you've got a Clearview Baptist Church in the United States of America who God's blessed with some resources and some finances, and we're surrounded by communities in DeSoto County, not outside of DeSoto County, but in DeSoto County, that need a gospel preaching church. Now, wait a minute. God has commissioned us to go into all the world and preach the gospel with such a great task. Why would we ignore that? Not only are we to give and we are to be a part of missions, but we're to be soul winners. I know. It's like 175,000 degrees right now. I know. It's hot. But you cut your grass at night, you can tell somebody about Jesus. I mean, we can come up with all kinds of reasons and excuses, but the purpose that God gave to us never changes. It doesn't matter how you want to avoid it, and it doesn't matter the excuses that we want to give. The purpose never changes. And we are to give the gospel. Number one is the purpose. Number two is the premise. Go back to 2 Corinthians, if you're not already there, and notice verse number 8. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Now, those of you who've been in our church for years, it pains me to not just take each of these verses and to just stay here and take them apart, but the Lord will not let me do that. I told you this is not normal for me, but the Lord placed this in particular on my heart, and we have a Bible command to go into all the world. If that be true, then it has to be financed. If that be true, then there must be resources available. The very existence of the local church necessitates a plan to finance the ministry. And do you realize that if you deny the tithe that God has instituted, it is to deny the very basic principles found in the Word of God? Sadly, we have become good at tithing by convenience. We become good at tithing on credit. And I don't have time to address all of that, but you understand, ladies and gentlemen, that the tithe is God's plan to support the ministry of the local church. All through the Scripture, you find it from the Old Testament to the New. And then as we go a step further from that, we find that giving is not limited to tithing. That's just the beginning. I mean, as Paul said, those are the baby steps. Those are the things that are the milk of the Word of God. Those are the things that I'm growing past and I'm maturing into. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and chapter 9, we read of these Macedonian Christians. I mean, when you read these two chapters, if you'll read them with an open heart, you'll be convicted about these people who gave sacrificially by faith and watched God do something phenomenal. They gave to support and finance additional ministries. Paul spoke in Philippians chapter 4 of a church supporting him financially as a missionary church planter. And there's a lot of different ways that you can organize and outline and structure what giving and tithing and missions giving is all about. But I like this definition. You either have portion giving in the local church, or you have grace giving in the local church. I'm speaking specifically about outreach, not tithing, not your tithe, but you either have portion giving or grace giving. So, preacher, what are those? Well, portion giving is where the church takes a portion of what you give and they do something for outreach with it. That for centuries has been the structure of denominational churches. For centuries. You give, and the church takes a little part of what you give, and they slide it over here, and everybody feels good because we did this little project over here, and everybody said amen, and they clapped their hands, and boy, aren't we really reaching others. But there's all kinds of problems with that. Because, first of all, in many cases, it allows you to have a contented spirit. It allows me to lose the responsibility. It robs me of the opportunity. It robs me of the blessing. It robs me of the chance to grow spiritually. It limits the Great Commission, because to do so would say, well, we can only give just a little bit in this area, because if we give any more than that, I don't really know if God's going to be able to pay his bills or not. Well, ladies and gentlemen, giving by grace is letting people give what God lays on their heart above and beyond what they have set aside to tithe based on obedience in the Word of God. Did I lose some of you? Based on the promise of God. Now look at 2 Corinthians chapter 9, look at verse number 8. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you. Let's just stop there for a minute. That is a promise. Do we believe that? God, that's the reason why I use the word grace. And I know, let me just stop for a minute. I know there's some people out in California and there's some people up north who use those terms grace and giving and they smash them together. I'm not doing any of that. If you want to read their blogs and their books, knock yourself out. I'm just talking about the scripture, and the Bible says that when I give, God has promised that he's going to make grace abound to me. End of story. I don't need some supposed theologian to dissect that for me. That's a Bible promise. And the Bible says that God is going to give and he is going to provide. Let's go on. Look at the rest of that verse. That ye always, having all sufficiency in all things. That's a lots of always. There's lots of alls and lots of promises. In other words, God has promised that he is going to fund his plan for world evangelism. Now, you know that sacrificial giving didn't just grow as the church grew, and somewhere along the way they got to 2 Corinthians and Paul said, hey, you know what? We should really try to give sacrificially. No, it happened spontaneously because of the Holy Ghost of God. In Acts chapter 2, you read about it. Here are people who responded to a need by selling what they had, taking their possessions, and giving them for the cause of Christ. We have a complete opposite mindset of that. Now, don't get nervous. I'm not asking for the title of your house, and I'm not saying you should sell your car tomorrow, but we have a completely different opposite mindset of that. We want to get as much stuff as we can and hang on to it. We want to accumulate things, and we feel like we've really gotten somewhere when we accumulate those things. But when I look through the scripture, I begin to find that there are patterns all through the Bible where people gave and God blessed. Do you remember Peter lent the Lord Jesus Christ his boat? You remember Mary gave the Lord an alabaster box? You remember the man gave the upper room for Jesus and the disciples to use? Joseph lent the Lord his tomb. All through the scripture, there is a picture of sacrificial giving. And by the way, none greater than the Son of God himself going to Calvary and giving himself as the ultimate sacrifice. In every one of those, there's a common denominator. And the common denominator is the Holy Spirit propelled through them, and the gospel went forward. Every one of them. You study them, you outline them yourself, you'll find it's the case every single time. And I'm just afraid that sometimes, perhaps it's just me, and I don't know, but I'm just afraid that sometimes our giving and our going has become a little too mechanical. We just write a check because that's what we've decided to budget, and that's what we do. And we just go because it's Thursday or it's Saturday, and that's what we're supposed to do. And I just wonder, ladies and gentlemen, are we ever guilty of participating but not being passionate? Are we ever guilty of not having our heart in and being involved in the work of the ministry? God did not commission the local church to stay in the land and become wealthy. That's not the plan of the gospel. Look, it doesn't matter to me what your feel is about missions. It doesn't matter to me what your thoughts are about soul winning. You can't argue the fact that the local church is to carry the gospel into all the world. You can't argue the fact that believers are to support the local church. You can't argue the fact that God has promised that he would bless those that are faithful. Doesn't it seem logical that God would have a plan for that? Doesn't it seem logical that there would be a plan for world evangelism? And giving by grace and giving by faith is simply acting upon the promise that God said He would do it. Sometimes people struggle with even being obedient, let alone having faith. Do you know, my friend, that it's fear that keeps you from obeying God? And either of those two. It's fear that keeps you from knowing. I can promise you this, that God will enable you to give beyond your greatest expectations. Say, preacher, how do you know that? Because I stand tonight as a testimony of that. I've seen God do it in my life, and I've watched God do it from this pulpit. In 2009, we had about $30-some thousand to our name in the bank. We had no idea how we would expand the fellowship hall. Those of you that go back that far and you remember that 10 years ago, we had no idea how we would do it. But we stepped out by faith, and almost $90,000 later, paid for, the project was accomplished. How does that happen? People sacrificed and they gave. 2011 and 2012, we had no idea how we were going to build a parking lot, let alone pave the one that we had, with about $60,000 in the bank. But $124,000 later, paid for, God did it. Because people sacrificed and they gave. Since I've been pastor at our church, we've taken on close to 80 missionaries. Now, some of them didn't stay on the field long. Some of them never made it to the field. I can't answer for all of them. I'm just simply saying that's what we've been able to be a part of. And we've raised every missionary support since I've been the pastor, and probably will do that again. I'm saying to you, God has a plan to finance His work. I heard of a pastor that stood up one night in a Sunday evening service, and he said, "Ladies and gentlemen, I'm excited to say to you that this morning God confirmed to me that we do now have the finances that we need to move forward to build a new sanctuary." And the crowd just erupted in cheers, and everybody was so excited, and he said, "The bad news is it's still in your pockets." I'm saying tonight, and it's just Wednesday night, perhaps it would be good for us to get involved not just as a participant. Now, some people aren't even participating. And I've preached my ears off to some of you. But perhaps it would be good to just understand the heart behind the gospel and to open our heart to it and have a passion to reach the lost. I promise you, God will not let you down. And by the way, can I just go out on a limb here? It doesn't matter to me. You may come to me tonight and say, "Preacher, I tried that years ago at another church and with another pastor and whatever." Look, my friend, I can't answer for what some other pastor did with the finances. I can't answer for what some other pastor did when it comes to soul winning. I can't answer for any of that. But I can answer for what this church does, and I will answer for what this church does, and we want to be faithful to reach the others with the gospel. Are we participating or are we passionate? You know what you'll find out? When you begin to get involved, when you invest, you start to fall in love. And you mature in your faith as you do so. I wonder this year who you... I appreciate the testimonies that we heard earlier. I appreciate those who spoke about how the Lord had been working in your heart in private and public matters, and thank God for that. But I wonder who this year you would make a difference in because God stirred your heart. Not because you had to or because you drug yourself, but because God stirred your heart. There's a premise in telling others about the gospel. I must hasten. Number three, let me give you the principle. Hebrews chapter 11, you can turn there if you want to, but in verse number 6, you probably know the verse. The Bible says, "But without faith, it is impossible" what? To please Him. As a Christian, I am to live by faith. And giving must include faith to be biblical. Now let me make a statement. Can you look this way for a minute? I believe that in many ways, tithing only requires obedience. But sacrificial giving requires faith. Anybody can be obedient, especially if you're a diligent person, especially if you're an organized person, especially if you are a budgeted person. Anyone can be obedient. But sacrificial giving requires faith. And giving out of abundance requires, requires some willingness. To some people, you can give more. Some people, you can give less. And the list goes on. But as we cooperate with God, we sacrifice and we give. That means it's going to cost you something. I am convinced that it is not that in the United States of America that we don't have the money. You are going to struggle for me to believe that. When we see on your social media account that you've gone to every concert and every ball game and you've bought every new outfit and every new nail polish and oil and the list goes on. If I think long enough, I'll catch some more of them. I don't think it's that we don't have it. I think that sometimes we don't have our priorities as the Lord spoke about in Matthew chapter 6. If I can say this in this crowd, and I trust that it has the right spirit, we're fixing to take one of our own and send them across the ocean to Bolivia. Now I know, because I know, Brian Hollis has saved many people in this room thousands of dollars because he's helped you, because he loves you, because he served you, and you sacrificed by giving $40. Wait a minute. If we really are passionate about the gospel, here's a man who's uprooting his family, is taking them across the ocean to do something for the cause of Christ. We can't sacrifice for that? Doesn't make sense to me. In a couple weeks, we're going to present the Hollis family with a check in the tune of thousands. You're going to miss out on the great benefit of that if you don't sacrifice yourself for that. There's a difference between participating and being passionate. And it may take a little bit of faith. And it may mean that you have to give what you don't have or what you can't budget. But that means I have to trust God that He is able to make all things abound to me and that He is able to sustain me because He's promised He would do that. Say, preacher, that doesn't make sense. Of course it doesn't make sense, because the principle is the things that are impossible with men are possible with God. I would never tell you percentages because it's none of your business. But several years ago, in my own heart, I became convicted about my own personal giving. It's none of your business. But we decided in our family that we needed to, because of the gospel and because of the need, we needed to give way more to missions than what we were even tithing. And by the grace of God, I've never had a need that God didn't meet. And I know that every person in here that gives would say the same thing. Look, I don't know why the Lord wants us to revisit this. I don't know. It's not a stewardship Sunday. It's not a faith promise missions conference anywhere in the future. That's why I've wrestled for 2 weeks and said, Lord, this makes no sense. But I'm really concerned that so many Christians, not just us, but everywhere perhaps, were participants, if even, but were certainly not passionate. Number four, and I'm done, is the practice. Mark chapter 16, Jesus said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Every Christian should go, and every Christian should give. Every Christian. You might not be able to give hundreds of dollars, but you can give. You might not be able to go every week and tell everybody, but you can go. Every Christian should go, and every Christian should give. And by the way, excuse me, but God did not exempt you from either one of them because you have a special calling. God did not exempt you because you have a special job. He didn't. You show me in the scripture where God said that as long as you write a check to missions, you don't have to tell others about Christ. You show me. You show me in the scripture where God said, because you give tracts, you don't ever have to tithe or give to missions. You show me. God did not exempt any of us from that. That's not a pastoral thing. That's not a calling thing. That's because we belong to God. And it will stir our hearts for revival, and it will stir our city if people decided they would get on fire for the cause of Christ and just love people and do all that we can to tell them about Christ. Every Christian should go, and every Christian should give until we have told every creature. Last I checked, I haven't told every creature. I've got a long way to go. And we have a long way to go. And we ought not just because. And we ought not just because it came up in a message. But every Christian should be. And we should be passionately participating in the gospel. Are you? Father, thank you for the opportunity to study these simple reminders. I pray that in some way they've been an encouragement and a reminder to us. Lord, stir our hearts for evangelism. Help us, Lord, to be passionate about the gospel. And Lord, I know that sometimes messages as such are braced against, and the devil does a great job of giving us excuses, but Lord, help us to receive it. Now your heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Let me ask you a question. I'm not